Bell v. Holder. Ms. Gutierrez.
And please, the court. Gerardo Gutierrez on behalf of Savas Judith Palma. Counsel, this is a case that comes up, Judge, not so much as a credibility determination, but as a determination of how the immigration judge interpreted the nexus between what is the protected class, in this case, the social group, and what is the harm attendant to that social group. I believe this court has already said that we can't look towards the social group by what the harm is.
But the Supreme Court is the one who said that, and we have followed.
Yes, Judge. So. Thank you for the correction. But the point is that in this case, the court went on to sort of frame the issue as the lying virgin wives defense. And to tell you the truth, in retrospect, I believe that that was a conclusion that was reached by both of us when really the issue wasn't the lying virgin wives. It's the issue of a woman who has been previously abused, who has previously suffered abuse, and has fear of informing that abuse to her husband because, whether it's clear from her testimony or not, under the evidence that came out concerning the country conditions in Honduras, it is very hard for a woman to seek any type of shelter, either from the groups that protect women, the battered women shelters, or in this case, even protection from the law.
So what do you do with the credibility finding? Because
Judge,
you know,
Woods, I knew you were going to ask that
question.
Yeah,
we've had lots of back and forth about this social visibility thing. The board may not like this court's position on it, but that's what it is. But then the board realizes that, and they say, we know in Ramos that the Seventh Circuit doesn't like social visibility. So there's an adverse credibility finding.
Well, I would direct the court's attention to the actual hearing itself and not the reconstruction of that hearing. And on page 101 of the hearing, the judge says, I don't doubt at all the story, for the most part, about what happened or the abuse she suffered at the hands of her ex-husband. I don't doubt that at all. That's a credibility determination by the court at the time that he heard it. So he's essentially saying, look, there are inconsistencies. There are inconsistencies about how many times you came back, whether you came back for your children, whether you came back for your aged mother, whether you came back for your dying brother. There are inconsistencies. But those
and the board, I'm looking at the board's opinion, goes through about a page worth of things that the immigration found, saying the immigration judge supported his adverse credibility finding with specific and cogent reasons based on the record, review, and they basically say that looks good to us.
Well, the board is reviewing the court's written opinion, the oral decision. But the oral decision is, to me, it's like a summation of what happened, and when you reflect upon it, then you start thinking, well, maybe I did doubt her. But clearly, at page 101 of the actual hearing, the court says, I don't doubt at all the story, for the most part, about what happened or the abuse she suffered at the hands of her ex-husband. Now, if then that becomes a credibility determination, that's really a credibility determination on the court.
Mr. Gutierrez.
Judge Hamilton.
Because of the petitioner's criminal record, our standard of review, for us to have jurisdiction, you've got to identify a question of constitutional law or other law.
That's right.
What is that question in this case?
In this case, the constitutional issue that I believe I raise is due process. And the due process here is that recall, this is a remand. So this hearing that I'm speaking of is a remanded hearing. And when
Okay, if the theory is that the immigration judge did not comply sufficiently with the board's mandate of remand, the board obviously was satisfied when it came back up. Are we supposed to tell them they didn't understand their own mandate?
Well, Judge, I believe that that's a good conclusion. I mean, if the board remands it and says, okay, we agree with the court that the petitioner has satisfied the element of fear of past harm. And then it goes forward and says, but in this particular instance, Mr. Immigration Judge, you need to focus on what country conditions there are that protect these types of battered women, if indeed battered women are a particular social group. So when I'm prepared to go back on the remand, my focus is on to show, and I attempted to show, that Honduras is not necessarily a conducive place for reaching out to battered women. But there was very little comment on that. There was comment on that. And part of the argument or testimony that was elicited by the government counsel was to show how, you know, conditions have changed, how they are being prosecuted, and in some instances there are severe penalties, but only if they're actually caught red-handed. So there didn't seem to me to be a weighing of those factors. There didn't seem to be an adequate due process analysis of the weight given to those factors. There was more.
If that's a constitutional question on this record, then any record will have a constitutional question in it, right? If the argument is that the immigration judge did not adequately weigh the evidence, right?
Well.
And we've help me with this, because this, you know, find a question of law that gives us jurisdiction to review this.
You mean other than just a credibility determination?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said, Judge, you know, when lawyers prepare for a remand, obviously they should prepare for the whole case. I agree. But if a particular remand, if this court instructs me to go back in front of the district judge and make an argument as to X, and suddenly the argument becomes anything but X, I think that that's a due process violation. How could it not be? So, this is a case that took 3 years out of this woman's life. She was in custody for 3 years. She had the keys to her own jail cell. And she was in fear of being returned to Honduras because of all the past abuse, about getting her teeth knocked out with a chunk of ice, getting her head beaten in with a broom handle, a broomstick, getting kicked by a pointy boot that cut a hole in her thigh. Not to mention the incident where her husband, with another driver, launched their car at her, and her brother saved her life and lost his hand. The court never says that that didn't happen. The board says, well, where's the proof? Where is the missing hand report? Where is the dental report where she had three teeth capped? Wasn't there. But we know that if she's credible, oftentimes credibility of statements and demeanor is enough. I'll reserve my minute.
Thank you, Mr. Gutierrez. Mr. Nelson.
Good Good afternoon. May it please the Court. Aaron Nelson for the respondent, the Attorney General.
So, Mr. Nelson, is there any more information? Your brief indicates she gets 2 years in prison for this theft conviction in Marion County. Is this retail theft? Is this, what is this conviction?
What I was able to discern from the record was it was perhaps receiving stolen property. I didn't.
How did you figure that out?
Yeah. It's my recollection of the somewhere in the proceedings.
It's in the transcript somewhere.
In the transcript somewhere, because there has been no issue on the legitimacy of those state charges and their effect in the immigration context. Our brief doesn't hinge on the sufficiency there. And
you indicate in your brief that everybody agrees she is, in fact, subject to the aggravated felon provisions of the immigration laws.
Correct.
Which, of course, as Congress designed it to do, does not leave many doors open.
And so we would, if I may, submit that because the criminal alien bar is implicated in this case, the only and very limited review question here is petitioner's contention that the agency proceeding somehow violated her right to due process. We simply reject this contention and submit that the petition should be dismissed as the record fails to support any constitutional or legal infirmity. And I'll make just a few points therein. And the first would be the remand language that opposing counsel centers on is actually not the operative remand language. The remand language from the board says simply, we will remand the record for further analysis of the respondent's fear related to her husband. Now, there is a subsidiary remand directive that says if the immigration judge evaluates the issue of whether the government of Honduras is unable or unwilling to control respondent's husband, her testimony that it would be futile to report incidents to the police should be considered in conjunction with the country condition evidence in the record. Now, the operative word there is the conditional if. If the immigration judge evaluates that, then he needs to assess it against. This is important because it's conditioned on if. And secondarily,
he reevaluates her credibility, right? I mean, I think that's what underlies some of this. First time around, she does a little better before him than she does.
Correct. The first time around, she's found credible, although the asylum application doesn't mention anything to do with the abuse she suffered. She says she suffered at the hands of her husband. It is evaluated. The board finds that it is not evaluated thoroughly enough, which is why it's remanded. On the second time around, it's replete with inconsistencies. And again, because this is the criminal alien bar is implicated here, the only issue is whether the immigration judge and the agency uphold and the board upholding the adverse credibility is somehow a violation of due process. And I would say that it's simply not for several reasons, including in the essentially pretrial discussion between opposing counsels, the immigration judge indicated that, first of all, he went over the language of the remand, and secondly, he indicated that everything in the record that had gone on theretofore was fair game. And there was no opposing counsel did not object to that directive. And I have at the record at 76, at 86, at 88, and 97, at least four or five places where, leading up to her testimony the second time around, he indicated that you may change your asylum application, even though at that point it was only withholding. But be advised that everything that was said previously is fair game. There was no objection made by counsel to that point. And so credibility is a threshold issue and a prerequisite for any relief. And for counsel to say that somehow it was a gotcha that the immigration judge demanded that she be credible is just not a colorable constitutional argument. So we would submit, if there are no questions, that it should be dismissed.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Mr. Gutierrez.
Thank you, Judge. Just wanted to point something out in the record here. At page 15, Ms. Sanat, she was the government attorney, she said she was sentenced to more than a year, so that made it an aggravated felony offense under Judge to Ms. Sanat. That's correct. But see, because it was a theft offense, it's not likely that I have that I would have construed or would construe in the future her offense to be a particularly serious crime. Obviously, it didn't have the aggregate 5 years to make it automatically particularly serious. So then we would look at the circumstances of the crime, the length of the crime, whether it was a crime involving violence, whether it was an attack upon a person versus property. And when you apply all of the various parameters, it does not look like this would rise to the level of a particularly serious crime so as to preclude eligibility for withholding. So I think under the statute and the case law, she would qualify to apply for withholding of removal.
Yeah, we all understand that, I think. But she not particularly serious, but she qualifies as an aggravated felon, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't dispute that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Judge.
Okay. Counsel, the case will be taken under advisement and the court will stand in recess.